produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Okay, we have Kara Mayhew to here today, and she is the new owner of Yoga PG. She is an integrative nutritional health coach and a yoga practitioner, and she attended the Nepal Yoga Home in India, and she has her yoga teacher's certification from India. Kara is full of life and passion about all things health related. She is currently studying Ayurveda, and that is going to be our topic for today, Ayurveda. So welcome, Kara.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome, and thank you for having me today, and also doing all that you do to spread the love and spread the health, so I really appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about the word Ayurveda. It comes up everywhere now.
Which is actually really cool. I love to see it kind of sprinkling everywhere, especially in the West. So Ayurveda is this most beautiful humanity's most ancient healing modality, that is. And Ayur means life. Veda means wisdom or science or knowledge. So there's a lot that encompasses. So I'm excited to chat about it with you.
Great. And what is the connection between yoga and Ayurveda?
Well, if you ask me, I'd say that there's a lot about Ayurveda that is incredibly intuitive. And I think that once you start to, you know, connect with yourself, which is something that I think happens naturally when you practice yoga, then you're probably practicing Ayurveda in one way or another, regardless of whether or not you know it. So it's really cool. They are known as the sister sciences, actually.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get all the way to India to learn yoga? That's fascinating.
Well, I was very, very fortunate. My husband and I were able to backpack the world in 2017 and 2018. Mm. And I knew that on those travels, I had to do something to take care of myself. So I found probably a $12 yoga mat at a little grocery store on an island in Thailand. And I started dragging it everywhere with me. And it would just kind of happen naturally. People started asking to practice with me, and then I started looking into different schools around the world, and I found one in Nepal, and that's where I went. My husband was like, I don't know what's there for me, but Everest. So he did some trekking while I did some learning.
Wow.
Yeah, which was incredibly cool, and that's where I was first introduced to Ayurveda, and I think it's very aptly named Ayurveda Overwhelm when you first start learning about it.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's something that I actually didn't dive into until more recently. So.
Mm-hmm. So the Karika Samhiti is the main book of Ayurveda, right?
Actually, I haven't run into that one.
You haven't run into it yet? Oh, okay.
That's not the one that I've kind of been looking into ones that are a little bit more modern, but yes,
okay.
You're correct. A lot of it always ties back to that more traditional writing. Right?
Very, very traditional. That's often said to be the most important text in Ayurveda.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ayurveda, it's all about balance.
Yes.
All about balance. can you break down the air, ether, how people are balanced through the elements?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really cool. There's balance in our bellies and there's balance in our life. So essentially, Ayurveda looks at absolutely everything on the face of the earth, and absolutely everything is composed of a certain combination of the five elements, which are earth, water, fire, air, and ether, which is space. So we are all born with a certain constitution that's known as our prakriti, and Sanskrit words are so beautiful, but don't feel confused if you don't know what they mean. Your prakriti just essentially means that this is who you are, this is your constitution. That does not change throughout the entire course of your life. However, you can go in and out of balance with that. So balance is all about matching your microcosm, your body, with the macrocosm, which is the world. So really cool. In the lens, or through the lens of Ayurveda rather, like increases like. So let's say you're already a really fiery person and then you're eating lots of fiery foods like spices and cinnamon and eating all the peanuts that are heating and all this stuff, you're going to be a little bit more fiery. And that shows up not only in your body and your structure, but also the mental body that we all have and sometimes don't pay too much attention to. So yeah, opposites are what you want in order to find that balance. And then you have to start looking at the bigger picture as well, which is what season are you eating in? And right now we all need a little bit more warmth in our bodies, let's say that.
Right. Yeah. And so between the five elements, we all have a little bit of all five elements in all of us, right?
I would say, yeah. It's very, very rare if you found one. I'd say impossible, really, to just be one. Mm-hmm. Because when you start to look at the body composition itself and you look at bones, like you could take a pretty good guess what your bones, what element is that? That's going to be your earth, right? Mm-hmm. Your blood, your lymph fluid, your tears, all that good stuff. That's going to be your water. And then mm-hmm. air, that's going to be your sinus cavities, your thoracic cavity, anywhere in your body that you naturally hold space. So that's what I love about Ayurveda, is it is so intuitive. When you start to learn about it, you're like, you're kind of nodding along. Things make sense.
It's already a knowing. You just remember.
Exactly. Yes. I love that.
What are the three causes of disease? Did you come up with different ideas about the causes of disease in Ayurveda?
I'm not 100% sure what the three causes are, but it's more like the six stages of the manifestation of disease.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, you go to your Western medical doctor and there's something off. Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful. They run some tests for you and they look into it and they take your word for it. And then they come back and they don't find anything.
Right.
And that happens so often to so many of us. And it's because a lot of what we have now just studies down to the cell. Right. Whereas in the lens or through the lens of Ayurveda, they're looking all the way down to that element so they can see where that imbalance starts. Right. Yeah. And at first it might just be a little bit, you know, of a feeling, and then it starts to embed itself in your tissues, and before you know it, you might have an issue in a particular area of your body. So it kind of carries
on. So it's a gentler medicine. It's a way of finding it earlier to be off balance from our true nature.
Absolutely, and that's why it's so, so important to know yourself.
And so our true nature is very, very important. That Prakriti, that first word you used, is our true nature, who we were truly, truly created to be. Mm-hmm. And so when we deviate, what happens? What happens to our true nature?
I think all sorts of stuff happens. If you want to get into it, it would be a really, really long list. But I think first you'd notice that physically.
Uh-huh.
There would absolutely be a mental impact there. Mm-hmm. And then we start to carry around, you know, what we might call in the West is trauma, right? You're carrying a lot of hurt. You're carrying a lot of pain. Something's off and you don't know what. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you even start when you're someone who just doesn't know what it's like to feel happy anymore? Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a long line or a long time of ignoring your own health, your own body, your own needs. So it's really, really important to just start to learn about yourself, start to honor yourself. What do you need? Not what your loved ones need, not what your friends need, what you need. So,
yeah. And really in Ayurveda, there are some basic, gentle, everyday drawing us back to our own being practices. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share some of those with us?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Ayurveda is like incredibly complex and there's so much philosophy there, but there's also some really, really simple day-to-day things, and it's called Dinacharya. So for example, if you're waking up in the morning, tongue scraping is a really good one. And when I first heard of tongue scraping, I was like, oh, what's the point? I have my brush anyway. Now that I have a tongue scraper, I use it every single day. My husband just started using one as well, and he admits that when he hops in the shower without scraping his tongue, he's got to get back out and do it. It's amazing what comes off. Every time you exhale all night long, your body is detoxing. So that's one that's incredible. There's also, I love to start my morning with a little bit of warm or room temperature lemon water. And that is lubricating your digestive system, kind of giving your body that little, hey, wake up, it's time to start your day, which is a domino effect, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have other things like your Abhyanga massage, massage, which is a really beautiful self-massage. Not gonna lie, the first time I practiced that, I was crying. I stood in front of the mirror and it was just a really beautiful experience. And I think that so often we look for that love in other people, and you might get hugs from your children or your loved ones, or you might even go pay a body care worker. But the power that you have to look after yourself is so beautiful.
Fantastic. And is there any way for our listeners to find out a little bit more about Abhyanga so that they could actually recreate it? Because it's an amazing tool of knowing thyself.
Yes. And then there's all the beautiful little sciencey things about it too. It's really this bridge. So it's connecting both things. So Abhyanga massage, you could do it intuitively, but when you look at it in an attempt to return your stagnant blood, your stagnant lymph fluid back into your body, you want to start with your extremities and work your way towards your trunk and, you know, use a firm pressure, get to know yourself a little bit. And I don't always rub oil into my hair or anything like that in today's world. We might not always have time for that, but you can find a really great example from Banyan Botanicals or on YouTube. Mm-hmm. There's a few. I won't try and spell it for you though.
Probably butcher
Abhyanga.
Yeah, okay. It is very easy to find. YouTube will tell you how to spell it if you look it up.
Exactly. Try good. And it'll correct you anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a caring for our nasal cavity as well that happens every day. Can you talk about that neti a bit?
The neti pot. Yeah, I think that we might have all heard of that by now. Something my mom used to try and get me to do and I hated it. So you're essentially having a little bit of warm water. It's recommended to put a bit of salt water, and you'll probably know a bit more about this than I will. But you tip your head over the sink or a basin, and you gently and slowly begin to pour a little bit of that water into one nostril and let it drain out the other. If you're new to this, go slowly. Use a temperature of water that feels comfortable for you. Keep in mind that it's going into a sensitive area, and so you don't want it too hot, and you just kind of let it do its thing. It does take a little bit of time if you're experiencing some congestion, so you want to be patient with yourself, do a little bit at a time, and it is a bit of a weird feeling if you're not used to it, so be patient, you know, give it a try.
And these simple practices done on a daily basis can create a profound, profound impact on the health of your whole being.
Well, that's the thing. I think that we're really living in a silver bullet, active ingredient kind of time, and we want change and we want it yesterday. But when you start to look at these practices and you add them all together, they're cumulative. They have a huge impact. So it can make so much change for you.
It can. We're going to go to a quick break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about Ayurveda as medicine.